to begin. Let the wonder take hold.
Feel it draw you in. Watch the moment unfold.
Spark a dream that we're meant to follow. Setting out for a new tomorrow.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Terry.
And I'm Debbie.
From Nashville, and we both listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 483 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Michelle Scribner-McLean for one. Hi.
For one?
For one.
Okay.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's so good. Yeah. It's getting there.
It's still winter here.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
New England.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, fingers crossed. Yep. Things will change soon.
Change. July yes. will be here soon.
Yeah. So, shout out to our buddy Rachel Opatowski, who last week finished her 27th half marathon, the Tink, even with residual bronchitis surgery on Wednesday, and having pain and blisters, she did it. So, and posted an adorable picture. So, congratulations to Rachel. She went on the cruise with us. She and her husband Joshua.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Also nice, with us nice is the one man in the world who I would feel safe having him draw my image.
Oh, I was wondering where this was going.
Yeah, me too. It's getting tiring. I'm getting tired, I should say. Chris Eliopoulos. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hi, Mike. Doing well. We'll get to it then quickly so Mike doesn't fade out too quick. One thing leads to another by The Fix.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I like
that's
that.
That's a good one. So. Hey, you want a tip?
Yes. $5, please.
If you happen to go to Walt Disney World and you decide to watch a fireworks nighttime spectacular, you should find your spot at least 1 hour before the show, if not 90 minutes before the show, especially during the very popular summer months.
90 minutes.
June to August. Well, you can sit down someplace. Find someplace to sit down. But
wow.
I would say 75 minutes is probably the average that you should
wow.
be. Yeah. Yep.
I don't have time for that.
I always do that, and I always have somebody at the last minute worm through the crowd and sit down right in front of me.
Wow.
So
what's the definition of a spectacular?
A nighttime spectacular is how Disney defined their nighttime fireworks shows. Illuminations, sorcery in the sky, fantasy in the sky, Fantasmic, they all were called nighttime spectaculars.
I guess it would be better than nighttime nap.
The same.
Nighttime snooze.
And the same goes. They never
snooze
called
fest.
It yeah. rides. They never called it rides. They called it attractions.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
that's what we are. Okay, so why am I using that tip?
Am I anticipating we're going to talk about nighttime spectaculars, one in particular?
We're going to talk about one in particular that debuted within the last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the Magic Kingdom. And it's called Happily Ever After, and it is number 40 in the long list of Walt Disney Company nighttime spectaculars around the world. But not too many people know that for the signature Magic Kingdom fireworks nighttime spectacular, this is actually officially only the third in the history of the Magic Kingdom. Fantasy in the Sky, Wishes, and now Happily Ever After. And Chris and Michelle and I were not there for the
so the show's over.
So we're not there to watch it, but we were able to, I know Michelle and I watched it on...
Through the magic of technology.
Technology. We watched it live. And I know Chris has watched the video of it. And so we're going to talk about it with the caveat that all three of us understand and we recognize that seeing something like this in person is much more different than seeing it on a television screen. The TV just does not do it justice. So we're going to be very careful about how we talk about it, but we still have some, I think, very credible thoughts that we should talk about. And I'm going to turn to Chris first. And we're trying.
Oh, sure. Blame me.
Yeah, I'm going to blame you first. So we're going to try to break it down into several areas,
break
Chris.
Down.
Break it down.
Oh, boy. Somebody's getting slap happy.
That's on my running list. So first things first, Chris. A fireworks show has fireworks. So let's talk about the fireworks.
It's a spectacular.
It's a nighttime spectacular. What did you think of the fireworks part of this Happily Ever After?
They seem really good. I mean, obviously, it's much better in person, I'm sure. But they seemed really good. There was one effect I thought I saw. Again, a lot of this is hard when you're watching it on a video, even as good as it was. There looked like a point where a character, I forget which one, was like shooting a bolt of something, and the fireworks kind of came out behind the castle. So it looked like it followed the line on the castle animation and then took off into the fireworks. I thought that was a really good effect, and I'm wondering if they had thought about doing that more, like to incorporate the fireworks into that animation more.
That was the Mulan
is that what it
portion
was?
Yes,
shooting an arrow or something like that,
was they tried to, I think they almost, and I want to be very careful, I think they went to the well a little too much with the things taking off and going up like rockets or whatever. I think the very first time we saw that effect on the castle, that was pretty cool. But I think it happened at least twice during this show, and I thought that was one time too many. I think once is enough. I mean, I understand how they're trying to make use of the castle, and I'd still like the idea of the lanterns going up that song. What's the song?
Or Tangled?
The Tangled song.
The Tangled song.
Yeah, that I found you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll have to open it. But, I mean, I think that's effective. I think they have to be very careful. It's almost like you don't want to go to the well too much because then it's not really that special. But, I remember that Mulan spot in the show where the rocket goes up. What about the quality of the fireworks? The volume. Did you like that?
Yeah, I get. You know, it's funny. I've gotten used to, and again, I have to give the caveat that I'm not there. The fun part a lot of times is like when you do illuminations, like in my head, the sound of the fireworks going off complements the music, and then you almost anticipate it when it's, you know, if it's not the, like if I listen just to the soundtrack of Illuminations and I don't hear that at the end of something, it just feels wrong, like it's missing a beat. And I'm wondering how well they incorporated the sounds of the fireworks with the music and the songs and stuff like that. So they seem like they're, I mean, you know, again, it's sort of like bang for your buck, literally, like, you know, there seem to be a lot of fireworks going off on this one. So they seem to be keeping that up. What about you, Michelle?
I thought that I just watched it on my TV, but I thought that the fireworks, they did a great job spreading it out from beginning to end. So, I think Wish has definitely had fireworks like here and there during. I know that we're not doing comparison, but during the whole performance. But the end is definitely where the bulk of the fireworks were. I thought this one was really nice in that not only did it spread it out from the beginning, so I think that, you know, the whole length of the time the show was going on, even if you were on top of the contemporary watching from there, you could definitely see a lot of different fireworks. I also thought there were some things, and I'm not going to be able to describe them, but there were some effects that I hadn't seen before that were, you know, different shapes and things like that, and combinations of colors that, for me, you can't go wrong. There's not a bad firework, so I just thought it was great. Mike?
Well, I'm sure it was a very expensive show because mm-hmm. there were a lot of shells that went off. I used to know how many shells went off in illuminations.
Becky
and everything.
Knows
yeah, I used
costs.
To know it was like yeah. so many, 250 or whatever. But it was very much the most that I have seen in a regular show. For holiday shows, it's a different story. But there was a lot. And one of the things that I noticed, too, is that, and they used to do this with, they did this a little bit with Wishes, but they did this quite a bit with Happily Ever After, and that was that the fireworks was in sync with a little bit of the imagery on the castle. So, for instance, when there is a Pirates of the Caribbean segment, and there was just yellow and red fireworks. So there was definitely some thought to that. So I think we all agree that there was an abundance of fireworks, and if you're just a fireworks fan, that you're going to be more than pleased with the fireworks. And they also were very careful. They had the very quiet single shots from each side of the wings of the castle when there was a very quiet moment in the show, and then they let it all hang out when it was very, very loud. So they'd probably get an A for the fireworks from me.
You're saying there was not a paucity?
No, there wasn't a paucity of shells.
Okay.
Let's go to the castle. Let's go to the images that were on the castle. Michelle, I'm going to turn to you first to talk about what you thought about the imagery.
Yeah. Well, this is I love this new technology. I think it's so fun. I have some mixed thoughts about this. I love what I saw, but I also was kind of hoping, and maybe this was happening, we just didn't see it. One of the things they do at Disneyland for, I can't remember which fireworks show, is what would we call that technology, where they're projecting onto the castle.
Projecting.
Yeah,
they
actually do that all up and down Main Street USA for this particular fireworks show, and I was hoping that would be the case, because I thought that was really cool. In fact, the last time I was at Disneyland, I stood on Main Street a second night and just looked at that because it was just so fun. So I haven't heard that was part of it. I liked it, but my other worry, and again, I'm thinking of all the different ways that you're going to be seeing this show. So, you know, maybe you're seeing it from the Poly, maybe you're seeing it from Frontierland, maybe you're seeing it from, the top of the Contemporary, maybe you're seeing it from in front of the castle. Unless you're in front of the castle, you're going to be missing out on a lot of what I think the show is about. I think they put an awful lot onto that imagery. I think what saves it is that the fireworks are spread out, but I think there's a lot kind of riding on that part of the show. Chris?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I love the technology. I love how they're able to make it almost, you know, they have those effects where it looks like the castle's moving or exploding open, or they use certain lines in the castle to have characters walk on them, and they're ingenious in the way that they've really worked this out. And I, like you said, I wonder even in the park in different locations, are you going to be able to see it as well? Is there an effect of like almost like it's a little bit out of sync with the castle the more you're on one side or the other? I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but I felt like there was so much going on. It's hard to focus on anything. I felt like, you know, there's a character over here, and then a minute later there's a character over there, and then this is going on over there by that, right? And then this, and that. And there's, like, so much to look at that it becomes, you know, dizzying. And so I just wonder if, that becomes an annoyance, or is it a cool thing that you can keep going back and seeing different things and always getting a new show out of it. So
I think that's a good point. Yeah, there was a, it's just like, I can't breathe. Yeah. It's so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike?
I think that it's very difficult when you're using the the castle as a canvas to do the types of things that they want to do. I think they do a great job in Hollywood Studios with Star Wars. I think that the castle offers a bit of a challenge, and they've done it. They did a pretty good job. One of the things in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, they show Quasimodo in the tall spire ringing the bell. I think one of the things that, Michelle, you and I mentioned is that we were watching it on television, and so we had a pretty good view of the castle. So we could tell most of the time what they were projecting. However, if I'm on Main Street and I'm looking at the middle of the castle, I may not recognize what type of imagery they're throwing out there. So sometimes the images are not big enough for those people in attendance to see what's there. And I know I'm, you know, being picky, but I think that it has to be quite obvious. So that was an issue. I think that the transitions between segments probably could, in some cases it was okay, in other cases it was abrupt. And I'm not sure if that worked well with something I'm going to discuss later on. But I think that image-wise, there was a lot of color, and they had it very bright. Some of the stuff worked well. Some of them looked very familiar. Others didn't. There was one thing I do want to mention before we move on to the next segment, is that there are some cases where they went back to a film. Twice I saw imagery regarding The Lion King, and I think that once you hit a movie, you move on to the next one, and you don't go back.
But our friend Messiah said, thankfully, there was no Frozen.
Well, there was.
Was there Frozen?
And, you know, I want to go off. I want to go off on a tangent.
Okay.
And, Michelle, I know you love this song, Love is an Open Door. Mm-hmm. But does it bother you that it was sung by the villain who tried to kill those two sisters?
No, because that's the perception at that part of the story. That's what he was trying to...
Okay. Chris, this is just a tangent. How do you feel about him singing that song, knowing now what you know about him?
Well,
we are really good.
That actually plays into a pet peeve of mine that maybe we can go into, like, in sort of the wrap up, the problem I have with this.
Okay.
Because it plays into it. So maybe let's shelve that until I come back. We come back to it at the end.
As we say in education, we'll put that in the parking lot.
Put a stick of pin in that one.
Let's go on to the music, and I would like to start the discussion off with the music.
I don't know. Chris and I will have to confer.
It's an original song, and it's...
it's an original song.
It's an original song, and it's sung by two somewhat newcomers. I don't want to go over their names. I think I put it in the post. They are... One of the things that kind of... was kind of a thorn in my side was that when we were watching the live stream, the host, Mark Daniels, said, the song is going to melt your heart. And I don't think it was a song that would melt, you know, anybody's heart. But it was, no, I'm just saying it wasn't. Because again, as much as you don't want to, it's not fair. You compare it to Wishes, you know, by Charity Farris, you know, you really can't. So, I mean, it was a song that I think was appropriate for the amount of fireworks and stuff going on and music, but I don't think that it was...
Your heart remained unmelted.
Yeah. However, they did present music from many of the famous Disney movies that had some very popular musical pieces, and I think it worked from time to time. I think the choices were okay. I think that there were some that were overlooked that I was curious about. They didn't have Let It Go, which, you know, like you said, Michelle, that probably was something that a lot of people liked. I think there could have been a few more romantic songs because they were talking about Happily Ever After instead of some other song. So it was kind of interesting, and that's going to lead into another discussion. Chris, how about the music for you?
Yeah, see, Mike, I'm gonna play devil's advocate to you and say that, you know, you've known Wishes for a very long time and you've become accustomed to it. You've grown up with it in a sense. And a new thing is always difficult, and it's not going to have the same place in your heart as the previous version. Right. So I will say that, you know, sometimes you have to give it a little bit of time. I'm sure when Illuminations came out, you were like, ugh, and then eventually grows on you. So I'm willing to give them time on this one and kind of let it get used to it. And then it becomes just a mishmash. This is like my big discussion at the end, but it becomes a mishmash of all of their greatest hits. And it's weird because did they have a reprieve at the end of the original song?
I can't remember.
Yes.
Believe they do.
Yes, they start off at the beginning and then they get back to it.
Right. Okay. So. I think it's a little time, get used to it. You know, a few viewings and you'll start to get into it. Michelle?
I agree 100%. I'm willing to give with you, Chris. I'm willing to give the song a little bit more time. I don't know that I think, you know, growing up in the time that I've known Illuminations, We Go On has changed meanings for me, and it's something special to me in a lot of different ways. But I think the voices of the singers were very good, and I actually saw, Chris, that the guy who is the male singer actually did an alternative version of You're Welcome with Lin-Manuel Miranda on Moana, so he's Disney property. I thought it was just way too many things. It was too much of a mashup of everything. And I do not, Mike is not going to like this, I do not see the value of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Not crazy about the movie. Like the book, read it a long time ago, but the music in that is like, ugh, I don't know. That to me seemed a waste. But I think it will grow on us. I think it sounds sort of a little formulaic, sort of, you know, inspirational Disney kind of formulaic in a way to me, but I'm willing to give it a little bit more time. It was just too much. I think they shouldn't have put everything in there.
First off, I wanted to say that
you don't get a rebuttal. Move on, sir. Nothing to see here.
I didn't say I didn't like the song. I just don't think that you can. You introduce a new song and say it's gonna melt your heart, and then it's like ba 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 ba.
The
name of the singer is, just for the record, Jordan Fisher and Angie Kelhauer, and just want to mention that. And you know, the thing is, Michelle, that I for some reason a lot of people didn't like Hunchback of Notre Dame. I don't know why. I think it has some very good songs.
Sanctuary.
You know, we'll see.
We have to agree to disagree. Nothing's wrong with that.
We'll see what happens, yes. Let's turn to the all-important storytelling or theme. And let's see, who should I go to first? I will go to Michelle.
All right, so this is my big thing as I was watching it. So to me, I don't know, I think all three of us in our line of work are really... we like to have clear goals and everything fits on under the goal, whether we're drawing a story, we're writing about a story or whatever we're doing. To me, everything's under the umbrella of happily ever after. So to me, even if you section it off into different pieces and there's a villain piece, as there always seems to be, it should all go back to happily ever after. And to me, I just did not see what the story was. You know, because I think if we compare it to Wishes, we have Jiminy Cricket kind of making that thread throughout the whole thing. And there's nobody doing that for us in this production. So the song talks about happily ever after. But other than that, what is the story? I don't get what the story is. And I think there's one other reference somewhere in the middle to Happily Ever After, of couples kissing from Disney movies. But I just didn't get it. I think it really needs a rewrite. I don't think the technology's off. I don't think the fireworks are off. I think it's just that the whole whatever story they're trying to tell to me is not clear. Chris?
Okay, here we go. Here comes my rant. So obviously, well, there seemed to be a they were trying to do a where so, you know, in the beginning it's all the happiness and everybody, all the characters are happy, and then, you know, the second act we saw all the villains come in for a while, and then it comes back to the ending, which is all happy again, which is fine, you know, it's okay. But to me, this whole thing felt like going to see a concert. You're going to see the Beatles play their greatest hits in concert. Now, it's the Beatles, it's the songs, but you mash them together all, and it makes a mishmash of non-story. You know, we're constantly shifting from character to character and thing to thing, and you have to have a working knowledge of all of these movies. So they're already, like, now they're pumping out every single hit they've got, and they're trying to weave it together, and you have to have no knowledge of those movies to get the emotion they're trying to present in those moments. And I think that's the difference between – I think World of Color kind of does the same thing out there. There's like this – we're going to just show you all of our greatest hits, mash them together, call it a theme, and throw some fireworks around it and say that this is a story. And it, to me, it was just more of them selling their movies and their properties in one big spectacular – whereas in other ones, a story, you get a theme. It doesn't have to be like, you know, I felt like at the end it was just like, okay, here we're going to throw in literally like the kitchen sink. Like, we're just going to have, you know, everything else that we have in here. And I would have rather had a clean, crisp story with less characters and less schizophrenic back and forth, because that's what it felt like. It just felt like we were going from this to that to this to that, and you had to know, you know, who you know, the Lightning McQueen is going by, and you had to then know what you know, like you said, with the Hunchback going up there, what did that mean, and with characters kissing, what did that mean at that moment? And, you know, you'd have to have working knowledge of that, whereas, like, you know, Wishes, it's you know, it's Tinkerbell, it's, you know, a straight through storyline. And I don't feel they gave us that on this one. I think it was just sort of like, hey, here's our good properties that you want to buy toys from, and not really give you a full story. So, Mike, now that I've ruined it for you, what do you think?
The very first time I watched it, I felt pretty much the same way. I just couldn't put pieces together. And again, unfortunately, I was comparing it to other shows I've seen. Every show we have down there, Fantasmic, Illuminations, even Star Wars, Sorcery in the Sky when it was around, there was a very solid, consistent theme throughout, and you could follow it. Illuminations has a story too. The thing with this show is that when I watched it the second time, I began to slowly piece it together. The theme is Happily Ever After, and I think that if you were going to have a fireworks show at that, you would start off kind of slowly and then show segments from films where there was conflict or someone in danger, and then you have then a hero segment, and then a recovery or a segment where there's someone who was saved, and there's peace and Happily Ever After, and then you finish it off. I think that it may take a couple of times to see this, to see where they did it. Maybe it's very subtle. There are a few, but if you go with that, then there are some images that I'm not sure about. Where does, I forget the name of the character in the video game character. What was that?
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, I saw Wreck-It Ralph, and I'm thinking, what is he doing there? There's no real song from that film that I can recall.
And he doesn't even wreck it. You stop him from wrecking it. So.
Exactly. So I think that was an issue. I think if you had some kind of a very, very solidly put together flow that talked about, okay, here's the introduction, here's some conflict, here's the hero, here's the damsel in distress. It's, you know, and each movie has something like that, and there's a resolution that occurs at the end of the movie. I think that would have been interesting. One of the things I also noticed both times when I watched is that at the end we have a narrator that talks about dreams and Happily Ever After. And so should this have been called Dreams or something like that? One of the first one of the few times you see a Disney production that doesn't have magic or dreams in the title. So I think that it's going to take, for me, just a few more times to try to get an idea what the creators of this show were trying to achieve.
I did notice there was that narrator. I thought that the narrator was just at the beginning and the end. So maybe
possibly
throughout a little, maybe jump in two more times or something to bring us along with what the story is. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take some time, obviously. Your first time viewing, and we weren't there, so, you know, you're not part of it. So, you know, we got to give it a bit of a grain of salt when we talk about it. But I'm hoping, you know, they can still. What's great about it is they can tweak anything that's on in the show itself on the screen on the castle. So they have the ability. Be interesting.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what type of reaction I have when I get to see it for the first time, and hopefully there won't be as many people as there were last Friday night.
Must the other thing really is, the three of us are not putting this show together, so, you know, it's easy for us to sit and criticize, but I'm sure it was the result of a lot of meetings and testing. We want to be in a place where 10 years from now, where they're switching this out, we're saying, how can they switch out? It's such a part of my life.
Well, I agree, Michelle, but if you're putting, and I don't want, this could go on for an hour, but I want to say this. If you are putting something like this together, the first thing you're doing is you're sitting down and saying, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to tell our audience? What message are we sending across? What's the story? What's the theme? That's day one.
No, I think that's where I started this whole conversation when we talked about the story, that it doesn't thread through. And you know, you can't have longevity unless you have that, I think, or people are not going to stand there for the whole thing. It doesn't matter if you leave halfway through. If it's just fireworks and images, I mean, you want to see the end of it. You want to see the whole arc of the story from beginning to end, right? If not, we just stand for 10 minutes and then we go race to our cars to avoid the traffic. I will say one thing I liked is that Tinkerbell is there, I think, and it's kind of cool that she's at the end, because that will hold people there.
Well, let's see what happens over the next 15 years, because it's about the average that these Magic Kingdom shows last. So we'll do a show in 15 years and we'll see how we feel. Chris, you have any last thoughts before we sign off?
Just looking forward to seeing it actually in person. So maybe this summer I'll get a good look and we can all discuss.
Very good. So for Chris Celiopoulos, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopus saying we'll see you on the roads and in the parks.
Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.